listening to Geekcast Radio on GeekcastRadio.com.
Hello and welcome to Geekcast Radio's Toronto Comic Con Roundup. I am your host, DFG on Mike, and joining me as usual is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
And our ace reporter, the Televixen. The last time we heard from her was back on Tooncast, episode 30, The Holiday Show. Hello, ma'am.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great this weekend.
That's good. I'm actually surprised you were even here because of the simple fact I forgot today is the launch of the iPad.
Yeah, I'm not getting in line for one of those.
One of my friends on Twitter, JennyGirl7, she's in Indianapolis here in the States, and apparently there's nobody at her local Best Buy, and there's no line, and they said that they have plenty in stock. So, as of this recording, Saturday, April 3rd, 2010, if you guys want to get an iPad, go to Indianapolis.
Why would anyone get a first-gen Apple product is what I want to know.
I know. I know.
Other than the status that comes with it, you know, ooh, I have an iPad.
Yeah, I know. I'm of the same mind now. Now, see, when iPhone came out, I was like, oh, I gotta have it. And I had the 2G, and then I had the 3G, and now I don't have either one of them. But,
oh, man.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm just waiting for Apple to come up with the next best thing, because you got the HTC 2, or the HTC HD 2, which I so want that. Whenever I'm eligible for my upgrade from T-Mobile, I'm so getting that phone.
Oh, it's nice to be with a cell phone provider that you get upgrades. Mine doesn't.
I'm not saying that I probably will have to put some cost into it, but it's not going to be as much as if I tried to get it now.
Yeah, I looked into switching to an iPhone. I have a cruddy BlackBerry Pearl right now. And if I want to get an iPhone, I have to buy out my current contract at $10 a month, buy the phone for $199, and sign up for another 3-year contract.
Wow. 3 years.
Otherwise, it's $600 for the iPhone.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah. Yay, Virgin Mobile.
Is Richard Branson even still alive?
Oh, yes, he is.
I was going to say, after his whole failed TV show, I haven't seen him around lately.
Wow, that totally... that didn't even register on my radar. There was a TV show?
Yeah, it was one of those...
Oh, was that the flight attendants one on CW?
It was either CW or Fox.
Okay.
Yeah, where he had... It's basically... I think it was like either right before or right as Trump launched The Apprentice.
Okay.
So it's probably easily forgettable.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't do reality TV.
No, you stick to the vampires with sparkles on them.
Oh, God. No, I don't do vampires with sparkles either.
They have to burn up in sunlight.
No wimpy vampires for me. I want the ones that tear a chunk of flesh out of you. None of these vegetarian vamps.
Blade anyone?
Oh, boy. All right, so you went to Toronto Comic Con, what was it, 2 weekends ago?
No, it was just last weekend.
Oh, was it?
It was the last weekend of March.
Oh, okay.
And this was the first one that they've had in Toronto. It's the same people, the Wizard World Comic Cons.
Mm-hmm.
It was their inaugural one in Toronto.
See, I thought they had something last year.
Well, we have two other events in the city that are fairly well known. Oh, we've got
PodCamp doesn't count because that's for podcasting.
No, we have one called Polaris, which used to be known as Toronto Trek, which is every July. It started off as a Star Trek fan conference and is now branched off into all sci-fi fantasy stuff. Not really heavy on the comic content or the video game content, but a lot of TV, film, a lot of filking and stuff like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that one every July. And then in August, we have what's Fan Expo, which is our biggest.
Yeah, FanX, that's what it was.
Yeah, and I've been to both of those the past few years. But Wizard World decided they wanted to enter the Toronto market, and this was their first one, and it's got some work ahead of it, but it wasn't a bad weekend.
Well, that's good. What was the first now you went all 3 days, correct? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
I was there Friday evening and then all day Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, what was the first thing that you were looking for when you went?
The first thing that was on my list, they had a special Caprica event.
Mm-hmm.
That was the day that the Caprica mid-season finale was happening. So they had two of the cast members, Magda Apanovich, who is Lacey on the show, and Luciana Caro, who is her. She's Priya on Caprica, but she's probably best known as Kat on BSG.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, two shows I know nothing about.
Yeah, so, and I was a huge BSG fan. I'm really enjoying Caprica, so I was really looking forward to this. It was a one-hour panel. We also got a 15-minute sneak preview of the mid-season finale. And found out, you know, kind of some what's in store for us when it returns in the second half of the season. I think they're talking about fall. That it'll be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really exciting event. An excellent panel. There were some fantastic questions asked from like the fans and the media that were there. Especially that, you know, it's going to get a lot darker. And there's going to be a lot of people getting their asses seriously kicked from what I've heard. what I thought was the most fascinating was they gave us a bit of a look into what it's like to shoot the scenes with, if you're not familiar with the show, one of the main characters was a girl who died in a suicide bombing on a train, but her consciousness was trapped in her virtual reality avatar, which has now been implanted in a robot. So there's this robot who's trying to fulfill her mission. Well, this girl in the robot trying to fulfill her mission and her best friend, Lacey. The whole interactions between the two of them girls, Magda, who was at the event, who plays Lacey, was talking about the process in which they go through filming these scenes. And because she's basically talking to the actress that plays the character. And then they replace it with a metal pole, and she talks to this metal pole, and then they go from there to adding in all the effects. So when you see it on screen, she's talking to this giant hulking robot. And it was just really neat to hear the whole, how you go from, you know, talking to kind of thin air to how you see it show up on your TV screen. And someone like me who is just fascinated with the whole TV process, how they create it, I was just totally geeking out over that. So. Also, like, how do you add a human spin to it? You know, if anything, they've kind of made this Cylon, while it's still all metal at this point, they've given it some very human traits. And it's that's one thing that's really working for this show, is kind of giving this object such depth and such humanity.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, you know, I don't have anything against BSG or Caprica, but they're just not shows that I watch. Or, well, BSG wasn't in Caprica, isn't. But, you know, that's cool. I mean, it's nice to see that, you know, the cast members and production people or whoever else was there besides the cast members are out there, you know, promoting their stuff and giving the fans what, you know, some sort of insight into stuff, so that's pretty cool.
What I also thought is really great with having a show like that at one of these events in Canada is a lot of these heavy-duty sci-fi shows are all done in Canada, in Vancouver.
Right.
I mean, everything from The X-Files to BSG to Smallville, you know, that's pretty much, you know, the sci-fi fantasy genre central. Even if the shows don't necessarily stay there for their entire run, that's kind of the big starting point for them. And, you know, just kind of really giving some recognition to the people that make these shows happen in their own country. In a lot of cases, and a lot of the cast is Canadian, and as a Canadian, I think that's kind of cool that we're, you know, we're contributing so much to television and to film that people all over the world are talking about and appreciating and loving.
Well, Vancouver is the new Hollywood.
It is in a lot of cases. For a while it was Toronto, but we just don't have as much of the geographic diversity that Vancouver does. We don't have mountains here. We have a lake. We don't have the ocean. If you want downtown New York, like if you want it to look like New York, you can use Toronto easily. But a lot of other settings, it works so much better in Vancouver.
Yeah. What was the, after that panel, where did you go next?
That kind of wrapped up my Friday. That pretty much took up most of my Friday evening. So we headed back down there on Saturday and had a couple of interviews lined up that day. We met up with David Richmond Peck, who is one of the actors on ABC's V.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a fantastic interview leading up to it just came back this past week. And he gave us a little idea of what was going on. And they had some, the tone has changed a little bit and we're to expect a different half of the season for the subsequent episodes. I think things are about to get really ugly on there. And he just gave us some really good insight into, you know, the whole social commentary aspect of it. You know, was it intentional or was it purely coincidental? And, you know, just how smart he thinks the writers are, and talking about how, you know, the sci-fi genre, they can really talk about subject matter that maybe in regular television, they don't want to go there, like the whole healthcare debate and all of that stuff. But, you know, you put it into a sci-fi atmosphere and all of a sudden it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting to talk to him about that. Also interesting to talk to him about how, you know, acting has changed over the years, especially with the advent of social media.
Okay.
And the way that they can interact with fans and, you know, kind of find out that instant reaction to when people watch an episode, they're going right to their Twitter, to their Facebook, to wherever it is they congregate online and talk about the episode, say what worked, what didn't work. And the actors, the directors, the writers, they can go there, and it's kind of like an instant focus group in a way.
Yeah.
You know, they can see what people are talking about, what they liked, what they didn't like. There's no more of this whole waiting, and it kind of puts a face to the whole numbers game too.
Yeah.
So him and I spoke quite a bit about that, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know which movie it was. It was one of Mel Gibson's movies. It might have been one of the Lethal Weapons. I don't know. It might have been Lethal Weapon 3, where I don't know if he was on the commentary on the DVD or a special feature or whatever. He mentioned that he would sneak into his movies in disguise, you know, to not really hold a focus group, but to see the reaction. And nowadays, you really don't even need to do that anymore. I mean,
exactly.
Because, you know, like you said, Twitter, Facebook. Of course, we all know MySpace is just, it's not even relevant anymore, but I guess you know, I would say the one thing that's probably taken MySpace's place is like Blogger or Blogspot or, you know, just internet blogging in general.
Yes.
All right, where did you go after talking with him?
There was also, as a BSG fan, there was a 1 hour BSG event with two of the cast members. Again, Luciana Caro, who was in Caprica.
Mm-hmm.
She was Kat on BSG, and probably one of my absolute favorite characters from the series, Anastasia Dawala, who's Candace McClure. She was the she ended up being the XO toward the end of BSG, and she left the show. Her character left the show on a very, very tragic note. She ended up taking her own life on the show. And it was one of the most, as a viewer and a fan of the show and someone who liked the character, it's a really difficult scene to watch. It's that well done.
Yeah.
And so this event was the, it was kind of like a 1 year anniversary following the series finale.
That's,
you know, talking to the two of them about, you know, their whole experience and kind of what their lives have been like since the show ended and kind of the impact the show had on a lot of other things. Like, how many other shows in the world can say that they led to a conversation at the UN in New York or, you know, that.
Yeah.
And just some of the subject matter that they dealt with and they were able to deal with it being, you know, more of a sci-fi show. Also talking about it being not just science fiction, but really good drama. Because if anything, at the heart of it all, BSG, yes, it took place in space for the most part, but it was some of the best drama of any genre ever written, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions. So they just kind of reflected back on that whole experience, talked about, you know, how they kind of countered the really dark parts, the dark subject matter that they were dealing with on set and, you know, kind of how they let loose and all of that. And, you know, Candace, who was Dee or Dawala, filled us in on, you know, how she got into the headspace of filming her final role and how she found out she was going to be offed on the show. And just the whole kind of, an actor goes through a mourning process when something like that happens to them.
Yeah. I think the only actress that I know of, and I don't know firsthand, but just over on NCIS, way back in the first or second season, there was a commentary or a special feature on that DVD with Donald Belisario.
Okay.
Where he mentioned that, what's her name that played Kate? Oh, crap. The woman that played the character of Kate on that show, she wanted to go back to theater acting. So he said, okay, well, you know, we're not going to just, you know, give you, you know, a frumpy ending. We'll send you out with a bang. And they had the villain of that episode, Sniper in the Head, to kill her.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, characters getting killed off or whatever a character's end may be, I don't know how a lot of people, like directors or producers or whatever, tell the actors, but some people, you know, want that explosive ending, or some people want, you know, the more subtle ending or whatever.
Yeah. Well, a lot of what she was saying was she had no suspicion that she wasn't going to be in the show till the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until she was given the script and then Ronald D. Moore called her in and said, listen, this is what we have planned for your character. Here's how you're going to be leaving the show, but didn't really get into how she was going to do it. And as she was reading the script, she discovered, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to kill myself. And just her reaction to it, she said she was crying, she was upset, but by the time she got to filming the scene, mm-hmm. She'd kind of come to terms with it. But I know, even reading some interviews following it at first, she felt she wasn't ready to go yet, but now she did mention that in hindsight, you know, that was the that was probably the best decision they could have made for her character and a fitting ending. And the research that went into it, like, she spoke with a lot of people who've made that decision in the past hits and didn't necessarily go through with it, but kind of the whole hit space. Like, you don't realize, like, actors just don't naturally have this. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into it. And if anything, I walked out of there with, like, a whole another level of respect for the whole acting process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What other, like, outside of, like, the panels and stuff, what is at, like, I've never been to a convention. When I was little, I went to a couple of, like, you know, car shows that stars showed up to. Like, when I was six, I, you know, did a thumbs up with David Hasselhoff, and he picked my mom up and held her in his arms and all this and all that. But, like, what is.
Well, this one, I'd have to say, the emphasis was kind of on coming and meeting some people from TV and film, and there was a huge wrestling component.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the wrestlers from back in the day, like, I haven't watched wrestling since I was a kid. I mean, I know a little bit of what's going on now, but I do not watch it. But, you know, to see people sitting around, like, the Honky Tonk Man and Virgil and Kamala and all them, a lot of things, you know, you just, a lot of, the biggest part of it is going, meeting these actors, getting autographs, some of them getting photos with them. It's kind of a thank you to the fans in a way. There was a huge reality TV section. Which
didn't even go near.
The only person that, and I mean, this isn't me now, but me when I was like a kid would have been excited over was Christopher Knight. That was Peter Brady.
Yep.
On the Brady Bunch. He was there with his supermodel wife.
Yeah.
Who was dressed as Wonder Woman and got a lot of attention from most of the men there that weekend.
I'm sure even if she wasn't dressed as Wonder Woman, she would have gotten a lot of attention.
She's an Amazon of a woman. She is so tall.
Yeah.
What's her name? Adrienne Curry, that's it.
Yeah.
So there was the most recent winners of The Amazing Race and some not Dancing with the Stars. What's the other dancing show? So You Think You Can Dance.
Right, the Fox Buff.
Yeah, so there were a lot of those kind of people there. And then the sci-fi fantasy genre. One of the coolest people to meet over the weekend was Ernie Hudson.
Oh, really? You met Winston, did you?
He was fantastic. I mean, I also thought he was, like, I watched him on Oz from beginning to end. And that was, like, one of my all-time favorite shows. So, you know, just kind of meeting him was really neat. And a friend of mine got to interview him and got some really interesting little tidbits. He really wants to do the next Ghostbusters.
You know,
just to get together with the guys again, he said.
Yeah.
And the paycheck, of course. But, you know,
true.
He thinks it'd be fun to, you know, suit up and get together with the guys, you know. Kind of like a little reunion.
Yeah, about a month ago, I was watching, I don't know, it was Sunday morning, I had just woken up, I turned on A&E, and there was a special on Caddyshack, like, mm-hmm. behind the scenes making of whatever, and it was on A&E, and I saw Harold Ramis, and I don't know if I know they make fat suits in Hollywood. I don't know if they make skinny suits. There's just no way I would see him as Egon anymore. I mean, you know, it's the same thing with David Hasselhoff. He hasn't aged well either. But it's one of those things where I would love to see a Ghostbusters 3, but I don't know what direction they could pull it in. Like, if they were going to do it where kind of like – in the beginning of 2, where they split up and then they got back together, but 3, they split up, got back together, and then, say, Peter's kid or their kids become the new Ghostbusters. I don't know.
That's what I've kind of heard, like, in all the kind of grumblings about it, is that it's going to be them kind of training the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
When and if the third one ever happens. So they may not be the... they might not be the primary players rather than kind of mentors, which I'm totally cool with. I'd love to see another Ghostbusters movie. I think if anything, like, I liked those movies as a kid. As I've gotten older, I come to love them.
Yeah.
Like, as I've gotten older, they've grown on me even more.
Yep.
Yeah. So he was there and, There was, of course, a lot of TV actors. Jewel State was there from Firefly, who was Kaylee on Firefly. I didn't get a chance to chat with her, but a lot of people were stopping by to say hi and shake her hand, and a lot of guys, like, kind of just milling around, staring at her, because, gosh, she is a very pretty girl.
What?
Like, there's nothing fake-looking about her. She's very pretty, even in person.
Did you get in any line for any autographs or anything?
You know what? I'm not a big autograph person.
Okay, all right, I'll rephrase, because I'm looking for a certain thing here.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten autographs at any convention?
Not at a convention.
Okay. My point is that my follow-up question would have been, what do you think the people giving the autographs, the actors, the musicians, whatever, do you think they should do it for the fans just to do it, or do you think it's okay for them to charge for it?
Well, the only reason I think it is okay for them to charge for it, some of the rates that are charged are a little outrageous, but in a lot of cases, that's how they're paid to attend these events.
Okay. Now,
what pays their flight, their hotel, because in 99% of the cases, they're not locals.
True. Do you think that they should... I'm not really trying to go into a rant on this, but a friend of mine went to, I think it was FanX last year.
Yeah.
And stood in line for 6+ hours to get Leonard Nimoy's autograph. He was also going to get a photo with him. But it was like $60 extra. Do you think the autograph signing and the photo should be just one price, or do you think it should be the two separate prices or whatever?
You know what? I think there should be two separate prices, but some kind of a cheaper package deal.
Okay.
You know, like say if it's $50 for an autograph and $75 for a photo, maybe for $100 you can get both.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason, because I'm someone who's put on events in the past, not necessarily this type of event, but I know how costly it is to put on an event in Toronto, so I can respect why people charge that. To bring in talent like this, in Toronto, unfortunately, we don't have the big studios footing the bill for a lot of these things, whereas like a San Diego or one of the larger Comic-Cons, you know, Warner Brothers might bring in the actors, and they pay for the actors to be there, so there can be free autographs. We don't really get that advantage in Toronto yet, but I'd love to see the day. So at this point, I really have nothing against, you know, charging for the photos and the autographs. In some cases, it is really expensive, but it usually makes sense for the people that it is more expensive, depending on who they are. Like Leonard Nimoy, It's expected that, you know, it's going to be significantly more than anyone else who was at it.
Well, true, but my friend that went, the problem was that, you know, he was a robot, my friend said, pretty much. You know, people would come up, "Hi, Mr. Nimoy." They would hand him whatever they wanted him to sign. He would sign it, and they would just walk away. He wouldn't acknowledge them. He wouldn't do anything to say, "Hi, how you doing," whatever. He then went on an hour lunch break and returned 4 hours later.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But,
I can kind of, and I hate to play devil's advocate here, but I can kind of see it, like, how it is for them on their side of things. You know, how numbing must it be? Like, it's exciting and invigorating probably for the first hour or so, but then, you know, it does become, it's got to become pretty monotonous after a while, especially for as many years as someone like Leonard Nimoy has been going to these things. But I do have to say, I was at his panel that he did last year at Fan Expo, and he was very animated and very entertaining. And I'm not a Trekkie, or a Trekker, or whatever you want to call
it. Trek.
I've never really watched Star Trek. It's just something I've never been able to get into. But even as someone who's never watched the show, it was very entertaining to watch him speak and talk about, you know, how little things came to be on the show and, I think he was probably one of the best speakers I've ever seen at one of these events.
Cool. Steve, do you want to ask any questions?
Who all did you end up talking to as far as interview-wise?
Well, there was David Richmond Peck from V, who we touched on already. I got to speak briefly with Meg Dapanovich from Caprica, and she gave us a little bit of insight into what's in store for her character in the second half of Caprica when that comes back, which I think is the fall.
Yeah.
Candice McClure and Luciana Caro from BSG, I spoke with both of them. And that was pretty much all of the interviews I got. Schedules were pretty... With this one, I found that the main focus wasn't on so much the media or press that may have been there. It was more for the fans. Like, this was probably one of the events that the ultimate focus was on the fans and giving them as much time as possible to, you know, get photos or autographs or to just go over and say hey to whoever it was that they were there to meet. So I do have to give them kudos on that. And that seemed to be the headspace that all of the talent was there in. You know, we're here for the fans first and foremost this weekend. And I really liked that vibe of it.
Yeah. What kind of merchandise was there? Like, what kind, like my main thing when I think of conventions, I think of the Transformers One BotCon, where obviously you have the dealer room with thousands and thousands of Transformers toys that people can buy. So what kind of merchandise was there that people could buy for this one?
It wasn't as big of a vendor floor as there is at a Fan Expo. Like, Fan Expo is massive.
Mm-hmm.
This one was probably about a quarter or a fifth of that size. There was everything from, there was a lot of comic books, because this used to be primarily a comic book convention.
Mm-hmm.
That WizardCon kind of came in and purchased and took over.
Right.
So there was a heavy emphasis on comics and graphic novels. There wasn't a lot in terms of the anime or manga stuff that there is at Fan Expo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the TV merchandise, too. There was, T-shirts, like fun little T-shirts with slogans and sayings from shows. There was, you know, figurines, everything from, you know, some Doctor Who stuff to... I think there was even, like, wrestling figurines that if you wanted to have them signed, you could. It was pretty much standard convention fare. Apparently, a lot of the Joss Whedon fans were very thrilled because they had some of the Angel and Buffy merch at really awesome prices.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, they had the Angel and Spike puppets from the puppet episode, and they had them for, like, $39, which is, like, unheard of in most cases.
I love Smile Time.
Yeah.
Smile Time is by far the funniest episode in Season 5.
Yeah, so there, you saw a few people carrying around their puppets because they've been looking for them. Some people have been looking for them for years, and they've always been, like, exorbitantly priced. And so, you know, to be able to pick up something like that for like $39, I think they were, it wasn't nearly as much variety. I wasn't as impressed or overwhelmed as I am at Fan Expo. Mm. But like I said, this is the first year, and this is just kind of like, to me, they were kind of gauging the market, seeing what potential there was. And I'm sure next year's will be bigger and probably have even more vendors.
Right, yeah.
But the quality, it was good quality stuff, too, from what I could tell. Like, they had an actual swordsmith there selling, you know, swords and stuff like that. It wasn't just, you know, some of the conventions you go to, people are selling stuff that they got for free at San Diego Comic-Con and stuff like that.
Damn scalpers.
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, if you got something for free, why are you going to go out there and then sell it?
Yeah,
you know,
that makes no sense. But
yeah, so there was definitely not the quantity, but it was some really good quality vendors. And the artists, I have to give, like, the artists alley, the actual comic book artists that were there
yeah.
were fantastic. And you got this real sense of community for all of them. I'm by no means a comic book person. I mean, I appreciate the art. I do love some of it, but I'm not a regular comic or a graphic novel reader.
Mm-hmm.
But just the whole sense of community, and especially now that the internet, like you can do web comics, just stuff that's out there that you may never have seen before.
Right.
Meeting some of those guys and gals was fantastic, and you know, the whole networking, I think it was a really good event for them.
Yeah.
And just seeing them, you know, on the spot putting together a really neat little picture and just getting a better understanding of the whole process, that was pretty cool. Also, in terms of graphic novels and books, Max Brooks was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my gosh, if you ever get a chance to listen to that guy talk, he's at, like, one of the best speakers I've ever seen in my life. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You guys both cut out at one time. It went silent.
Oh. No, we're here.
Yeah. It sounded like the connection dropped. Max Brooks has to be, like, one of the best speakers I've ever seen in my life. And he was just talking about, you know, the whole process, how he ended up writing World War Z. Or as he kept saying, we're in Canada, it's World War Z. he's very entertaining. And there's a common theme that I keep seeing at you know, these different conventions, that a lot of the people who are the most creative and put out the most exciting projects are the people who face the most challenges growing up. Like, a lot of the real geniuses are dyslexic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just like, wow, like the stuff that they've overcome, you really leave a lot of these events feeling invigorated, especially creative people. You know, you leave there and you're like raring to go. You're inspired, if that doesn't sound too cheesy.
Yeah, well, you know, that's another thing. I forget which one. It might have been a convention on the cartoon reboot or something. Scott McNeil, Gary Chalk, who are two voice actors, were there, and apparently Scott McNeil is telling this story about this, that, you know, he was, you know, he's just walking around, he saw somebody drawing a picture of one of his characters. So he comes up behind the kid and goes, in the character voice, he goes, ooh, Ospinator-like picture. And the kid turned around, and the kid was like, oh my God, you're Scott McNeil! And he's just, like, cracked up. But it's like, it's people like that that take a real interest in the fandom and really realize what they've done hits a lot of people.
Yep.
You know, that's what I like about some of the convention stuff, because you just never know who's going to show up. What, I mean, you know, you can look at a list of say, convention attendees, but,
yep.
You know, last year's BotCon was in L.A. Pretty much, unless they're based in Canada, pretty much all the Transformers voice actors who live in L.A., whether they're invited or not, I would think would show up just to show up, you know, just to kind mm-hmm. of, like, surprise people.
Yeah.
I don't know. So what else happened? What went on Sunday?
Sunday was, well, just to go back to Saturday for a second, one other thing that was fantastic and I'm super, super excited about, they had a sneak preview of the film Kick-Ass. And my reaction, like, I've kind of been living in a little bit of a bubble right now, and I, outside of TV, I haven't really been looking at any film stuff, so I didn't know much about it other than it's about superheroes. Going into this and finding out what it was about and seeing some of the clips from the movie, I am so excited for this. I'm almost as excited for this as I am for the next Iron Man.
Which, that's going to be epic.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so happy Robert Downey Jr. is in such a cool, like, in such a cool role, but also that someone who I always grew up thinking, my gosh, I'm not going to be able to see this guy's career grow just because of, I didn't think he'd live.
Yeah.
You know, I am so thrilled that, you know, he beat the odds and he's here and he's better than ever.
You know, outside of Iron Man, the Iron Man movies and Sherlock Holmes, before those, the only movie I ever remember seeing him in was 1985's Chances Are with Cybill Shepherd. I don't remember
any other
film than that one.
Less Than Zero is one of my all-time favorites. The Pickup Artist. Oh, gosh. Chaplin. Chaplin was brilliant.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a phenomenally talented actor, but he can also do the more fun roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kick-Ass. Holy smokes. I'm watching this, and I'm like, I had no clue that, like, one of the characters is, like, this little girl with, oh my god, such a potty mouth. But I'm standing there, and this little kid is, like, totally tearing up another character, and then she fires off some really rude, crass, smart-assed comment, and I'm like, I want to adopt that kid. I was just super excited for that. It would have been a lot better if they'd had maybe one of the actors or something like that there for it, but as it stood, they had one of the guys from Wizard Magazine and three local media people talking about it who have seen the movie already.
Right.
And to me, a panel like that isn't really that interesting, but the clips that they showed us and some of the trailers that haven't been released yet really made up for it.
Yeah.
And also because they made it in Toronto, so you're kind of like playing pick the landmark.
Yeah.
I love doing that in movies and TV shows, looking at things and saying, oh my gosh, I used to live there.
Yep.
Which has happened. One of my old places was in the background of a lot of shows. So, yeah, so that was really cool. And then on the Sunday, I went back for a couple more interviews. I interviewed Candace McClure, who was on BSG. And
yeah,
hands down, one of the best interviews I've ever done in my life and one of the nicest people you could ever meet in your life, who truly feels that, you know, she was lucky to have been a part of that show. And just loves going to these events and meeting people and just kind of hearing how they reacted to everything. She's probably one of the best convention guests I've ever encountered. And that was pretty much most of my Sunday was interviewing her and then checking out a couple of the different areas I hadn't checked out before. We checked out a couple of they had a Tom Clancy Splinter Cell room set up where you could go in and play the new game. And I'm not much of a gamer, but I watched my partner play around with some of the games. I love watching people play video games.
Yeah.
I'm not very good at it myself. So they had a little bit of a video game aspect to it too. And other than that, my primary reason for going was the whole TV stuff, the TV actors that were there. And it was a really good convention in terms of getting to chat with them and not just a hi, how are you? You could really have a bit of a conversation with them just because the lines weren't huge for most of the weekend. There was a steady stream of people. Mm-hmm. But it was a bit of a different setup than what you're accustomed to. Like, there wasn't a big long wall of people and lineups in front of each of them. The people more had booths that you'd go to.
Yeah. That's what I'm noticing about conventions that just start out, that they're really personable. They're really, like, very low-key. You know, even though with all those TV guests and comic book artists and everything else, you know, you take again, because I'm a Transformers geek, the best example I have is BotCon. Just from listening to a couple of our other co-hosting people, when BotCon started out, it was really, really small. Same thing as this. It grew and grew and grew to what it is now, to where it's like, wow, there's like millions of people showing up for this thing. And
yeah,
there's no way you could have an entire conversation with a voice actor or an actor or actress in general just in passing, which is kind of sad, but you know.
Yeah. For a first attempt, I think they did a pretty good job. They really need to increase the amount of panels, in my opinion, mm-hmm. or fan Q&A sessions. They really need to increase that. But other than that, I mean, the setup of it was pretty good. I see it growing in the future, for sure. There is an audience here. I just think that the larger, like, the more let's say, the more popular talent really needs to consider coming here, because there is a huge, huge demand for it.
Yeah.
And not a lot of the big actors do come here because, you know, it's Toronto and they don't know much about the market.
It's Toronto and the only thing that you guys have is Niagara Falls.
That's not even in Toronto. We've got the CN Tower.
Well, one tower is better than none.
It's actually, like, Toronto's pretty much as close to the United States as you're going to get.
Yeah.
When you're coming to Canada, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right.
In the States regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the studios really need to get behind it and appreciate the, you know, the value of what they'll get here by bringing their cast here. There was a part of it, and I should mention this, although I didn't attend it. There's a new Saw movie coming out.
Oh,
and they had pretty much, there's a lot of horror fans here. So, and they make a lot of those movies here. Like, a lot of the Saw movies have been made in Toronto. So they had, like, the entire cast for a Friday night event that I didn't attend.
I'm sorry.
I don't watch.
I'm sorry, but those movies are not horror movies. The first one maybe you can classify as a horror film. The rest of it is just five-minute recaps expanded into 2.5 hours. I hate those damn films.
I've never watched one, but I see just kind of the reactions, and I know people who really like them. So that was a big draw on the Friday night, though. Was a lot of people showed up for the Saw event with the cast, and Jigsaw was there and everything.
Now, I could see the whole thing with the Saw series, why it's popular, but at the same time, I don't think they planned this far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't
they're gonna ruin
this
next movie just because they're trying to mix, because originally they're going to have Saw 7 and 8, and 8 got declined, so they're going to mix it all into 7 to try and wrap it up. And on top of it, to make it worse, they're going to make it 3D.
Just say no to 3D.
Everything's going 3D, which is just a gimmick, which I hope blows over.
Well, it blew over in the 80s. It didn't come back till now, so hopefully...
Well, this is the new 80s.
But... What kind of where I was going with the whole Saw thing, if other big movies could get on board and bring their events here, and even if they brought like one actor with them or director or something like that, it would really enhance the events here and, you know, put us on the same playing field. And then the talent will want to come.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of have to have that, you know, not necessarily studio, but, you know, kind of like the bigger powers saying, hey, you know, bringing people to this, and then other people will be, other actors in that will be like, oh, so if they're going to be there, well, then maybe this is a significant player. And I think that there is a definite future for stuff like that here.
Yeah. Well, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know anything else, Steve?
Is there anything else that you wish that they would have included in this year's or to have for next year?
Definitely more panels. TV content, you know, just beyond the two shows that they had events for. They also had, like, a reality TV panel, which I really don't care about. I think if they scale back on the reality TV stuff and, you know, bring in some of the more significant TV shows out there, I mean, you know, Smallville Films in Canada, bring out a couple of those people. If they are just trying to stick with people who already happen to be in the country, they could have totally done a fringe panel here. There's a lot of really good mainstream television that could have been a part of it and wasn't. So for me, that'd be a big thing, expanding on the film content. Everything just that was filmed there this year that was film related seemed like an afterthought. So I really hope that's just part of the growing pains of this particular convention.
Yeah, probably is.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. I'd like to thank the Television for this special Toronto Comic-Con roundup. And you can give us feedback by visiting the website, geekcastradio.com. You can visit her website, what is it, thetelevixen.com?
Yes, it is.
can join our forums at protoconempire.com/nexus. You can leave the show feedback in iTunes. We have Twitter. The show name there is Geekcast Radio. Mine is TFG on Mike. Steve, what is your Twitter?
SCP21.
And Televixen?
Is the Televixen.
Have you set up a fan page on Facebook yet for your website?
Yes, I have.
What would people search for?
If you just search the Televixen, you will find it.
Oh, cool. And you can search Geekcast Radio Network for ours. You can call our voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this special episode of Geekcast Radio and wish you'll join us next time. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with the Televixen and Steve Megatron. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Thank you for listening.